Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Giannis, Draymond, the Kings, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, as Cam Newton says. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, he did let that one slide in there.
It was just less egregious.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a tougher name.
Right. So it's a little more understandable.
Yeah.
To just kind of.
Lackadarzagarzal. What is it?
Lazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazaz We also didn't pronounce it correctly. Besides sure. Nate, we add or I added a lackadaisical.
Almost like LAX, like lax.
Yes.
Lackadaisical.
I think that's probably why people yeah. do it, to
it's
be
a,
honest.
It's a Bernstein, Berenstein Bears.
Things are lax.
Yes.
And you think lackadaisical, but it is lackadaisical.
It's a, what's that theory?
I want to give kudos
to. Not the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
I want to give kudos to Zion for giving it a go.
Yeah.
He definitely went for it.
You got to be sure before you premiere.
Dude, he's coming off a game. He just ate a table.
He ate a table.
Give him a break.
Chefs are hitting his phone up.
But, yeah, I mean, I keep bringing this up in the pre-show.
They're looking for him.
But
like Law and Order.
Garnett's was way worse.
Yeah.
Garnett's was so
bad. You got to find it. You can't just say that.
Well, fine. I'll get
find
it.
Find it and we'll get
I'll
back
find
to
him
it.
Like every chef's. Trying to find Zion.
Come on. Leave Zion alone.
And every SF bouncer's trying to find Draymond.
I know, come on.
Leave him alone.
Word is out.
The word is out.
Video game
makers. That brother needs some help.
Yeah. Video game makers are looking for Draymond. 916-339-1140. Your calls, your texts are all brought to us by the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And we ask the question, is Kevin Herter now on back on the hot seat? Some pretty interesting numbers. And just these last three games have not been kind to Kevin Herter. Last game, he scored 3 points. Against the Nets, he scored 6 points. And against the Suns, I had to double check with Chris that he was available the whole game.
Yeah.
Against the Suns, Kevin Herter scored 1 point.
Not great.
Are you worried about Kevin Herter? I know you have more of a breakdown since he came back from that fingy injury.
The fingy, yes. His last three games, I'm looking, hasn't been great at all. He's 3 of 18 from the field, just from the field in his last three games. Looking from three, he is 3 of 12. From three in that time frame as well. Since coming back from injury, it's been 10 games now since he missed that Dallas game that the Kings won by 16. It's been 10 games since Kevin Herter came back. He's averaging 9.5 points per game on 40% from the field, 35% from three. It's a little bit reminiscent to his first couple of games of the season. Looking at here, it took him really 6 games to get going before he kind of got hot. For he was on that Herter heater, if you will, for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then as you mentioned, got hurt and just hasn't looked the same since. I don't know. It's starting to feel like, you know, Malik Monk's playing a little bit better, and I've definitely raised my skepticism yesterday on even if Mike Brown were to have the confidence of, or not confidence, but would have the notion to put Malik in that starting lineup. I've got some questions about it, but man, I don't know. If Kevin Herter's not going to be knocking down shots, which is the reason why he's out there on the floor, does make you wonder. You know, you're paying him $15 million a year. That's a really good contract. Like you said earlier, if you wanted to pair that with Harrison Barnes, maybe you can get something else. You might be able to survive without a Kevin Herter on this roster if it means that you're improving at another spot. So I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm actively putting him on the trade block, but I think this up and down season has definitely shown that, you know, maybe he's a little bit more expendable than what I would have previously thought.
You know what's interesting? As you hear the term shooter shoot, right?
Absolutely.
And
Shoot through slumps.
And it's very obvious that if you just look at the numbers, that if he has gotten it's almost as if he starts out hot, it kind of sets the tone.
Yep.
Because the way, and we would have to do a deeper dive, but how I'm imagining this happening is – he makes his first couple shots, and he, because I think sometimes he almost isn't getting looks because he's not really going to create for himself.
No, he's not creating for himself.
Because every time he's in double digits, right, he's never inefficient because the only time he's in double digits is when he shoots to double digits. So it does match.
Yeah.
So these games, these last three games, he never eclipses 8 field goals. And that was last game where I think people were just kind of chucking things
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
And so he got to 8, which was inefficient. He was 1 for 3. But it's almost as if, he can't. There are just some games where, are we going to – Kevin's going, so let's make him go.
Yeah.
Are they replacing – his spot in the offense with Keegan? I don't know, but it feels like he should be getting a similar amount of shots every game, and whether you make them or not, does you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's getting more shots. It's clear that he's either taking more shots after he's hit some, or he's getting featured more if he hits some. It's not a blanket statement to where he's always getting opportunities. If he does not start out hot, It's either on him or it's on the offense for no longer looking for him. And it's really, how many times has it been Kevin Huerter gets hot in the second half? If he's done,
he's going. And that's kind of funny enough. That's been kind of the story of the Kings as well. And I don't think that's a coincidence. It's like, I mean, the Kings, with how reliant and one-dimensional, if you will, they've been with the three-point shooting, it feels like even during the games, it doesn't matter if they're not hitting they're still taking them, but it's not just Kevin who's taking them. Clearly, I mean, excuse me. It feels like I don't know. I don't know if this is just the nature of shooters, because we've seen Kevin Huerter last year go through these ups and downs, but it just felt like at least last year the ups lasted a little bit longer than, like I said, the week and a half that it felt like he had it going. And it felt like the lows weren't week to 2 week long lows either. Yeah. So clearly something isn't clicking. And now the funny thing is, you mentioned it to me before the break, the biggest difference in the past week has been his minutes are starting to get affected. Like you said before, up until really the past couple games, he was still getting to that 28 to 30 minute mark. These past three games, he's clocked 16 minutes, 17 minutes, and then 16 minutes last night. Again, that's telling me that Mike Brown is no longer, Steve Kerr's talked a lot about the leash that he's given Andrew Wiggins and Klay Thompson just because he believes in their talent and knows that at some point, or hopes at some point, they're going to turn around. And now Steve Kerr even got to the point where he's benching those guys. I think Mike Brown has a very similar story when it comes to Kevin Huerter, to where it's like, I've given this guy tons of opportunity. I gave him a leash. We're now 22 games into the season. He's played 21 of them. I got to start taking his minutes here, because clearly, like you said, it's pretty obvious that it's either he's got it or he doesn't. And if he doesn't have it on a night, I can't just leave him out there and hope that it's going to turn around, especially when, in theory, we have a deep bench or guys that we can at least look at to go to that could fill a similar role to what he's doing out there.
Yeah, and you know what you are wanting to get from Kevin Huerter, whether you're going to get it or not, as we see on the text line from the 916, we need to get Kayvon back. Yeah, Kayvon has not shown up since, it looks like, the Nuggets. He had 16 against the Nuggets. That was the last time Kayvon had showed up, and he played really well against the Warriors. He had 21 against the Warriors. And I want to ask Coach this question tonight, but I can already imagine what the answer will be as far as offense. I've asked him a similar question when it comes to Sabonis when he was facing off against the Warriors. And the answer is always going to be, it's all within the offense.
Yeah.
He's going to get his looks. But, and you know, I'm not going to try to get too deep here with Coach Mike Brown in the press conference. But, yeah, I think that there is something to be said that his minutes. Here's my question, Chris. In a game where you're getting blown out, are you surprised that maybe – Kevin Huerter didn't stay in longer against the Clippers to maybe get going?
Try and find a shot. I mean, that's interesting for sure. I mean, you could argue maybe, that would have been a decent idea, get him going a little bit in a game where you consider it already over. But, that's Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe
what?
He
could like that.
No, it's not that I don't like it. I do like it. I do think that there's value in it, but there is also sometimes it's just like, you know, you just got to chuck the game up as a loss. And it felt like that Clipper game was just lost. And it, you know, I think if anything, it was a white flag statement. And, you know, you're just trying to get out of there with no injuries at that point in the game. So I don't know if that would have been the game for it, but I think we are getting to the point where, yeah, I mean, if the Kings are getting blown out, Kevin Huerter, you brought it to my attention as well, he's not even finishing games anymore. Like, you know, there is the cliche of, you know, it doesn't matter who starts, it's who finishes. And sometimes Kevin would, if he's playing well enough, he'll get into that final rotation. They'll throw him in there with Malik, but now it's to the point where he's not getting that benefit of the doubt. And if he doesn't have it going, he's not going to finish the game. So I think that's really an interesting thing to kind of watch as well, is Malik seems to kind of be firmly in that closing rotation. And I don't think anybody has any problem with that. I think really it becomes a question every night of, is it going to be Harrison Barnes or is it Kevin Huerter that you put into that closing lineup? And, you know, for better or worse, no matter what a large portion of Kings fans think, I think Mike Brown just feels a little bit more solid by having Harrison Barnes in there. But I think Kevin Herter's more than capable of earning that spot. He's just has to be hitting his shots, unfortunately, because he's rebounding better this year than he has in the past. But if he's not knocking down his 3-point shot, he's not really impacting the game in the way that the Kings need him to.
Yeah, and I'm looking here. I was just confirming something. So Keon Ellis entered the game for Malik Monk with 8:45 left in the game, right? And that, at that point, it was 105-73. And then you have Kevin Huerter, as I'm checking right now. Kevin Huerter, okay? Kevin Huerter didn't play in the fourth. And Kevin Huerter didn't see, and maybe at that point you're thinking, so Kevin Huerter comes out of the game, and it's 81-55 with 5 minutes left in the third. Malik Monk is more important to this team right now than Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
I don't think that in garbage time, I don't want to see Malik Monk.
I mean, he wasn't in garbage time. If he checked out with like 8 minutes to go, that's probably around the time where they waved the white flag. Like,
keep Kevin in there.
I mean, what? They threw Duarte. I mean, Jordan Ford got minutes. Like, I think it was past the point of any legitimate players getting out there just for the sake of him knocking down shots and then not playing until Thursday. Like, that's where I was like, I don't know if putting him in at the end of the game really gets him in rhythm for a game that's 2 days later. I kind of feel like at that point, it's like, just get him out the game. If you're worried about him getting into a rhythm, have him take 1,000 shots after that game's over, and then at shoot around on Wednesday, make sure he's locked in, and then today, this morning, make sure he's locked in too. I think that does you more good than trying to get him in rhythm at the end of that game. Just for that specific case, I think as we've seen with guys like Keon Ellis, there is value in checking in at the end of the game just for the sake. I mean, Keegan did it in the playoffs as well. Like, there is value in that 100%. I'm not poo-pooing that idea. I just don't know if that specific scenario was the right
one. You see it a lot in the playoffs. Yeah, and then it kind of turns into a thing, which it's not. I don't think it's a thing yet.
Right.
I think Kevin Huerter has been flying under the radar.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But
no one's
these minutes diminishing and Michael say, well,
that's how coaches talk.
Right.
That's how coaches make statements.
Exactly.
By minutes.
You're saying it without saying it. All right, gotta get to a break. When we get back, where would you rank Coach Mike Brown compared to other coaches? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Kings are going to get it done against the Thunder. We shall see.
First
which Kings team will show up, really, is the biggest question. And does the ball go in the basket? That's how you know whether the Kings will win or not. For most teams, but really, really, really for the Kings and Coach Mike Brown, reigning Coach of the Year.
Unanimous.
Unanimous. And, you know, he makes some decisions, and I feel like the media is pretty nice to Coach Mike Brown.
But yeah, right now, for sure.
When you bring a team to the playoffs that hasn't been to the playoffs in a very long time.
That'll get you some favor.
That is going to get you a good bit of time here. Yeah. Now, when that time starts to change, we shall see.
It'll happen eventually. It happens to everybody.
Even right now, right, the Kings are still above average. So no need to come down his road. But when you dig more into the nook and cranny of it and you see blowouts, 7 of their 9 losses have been blowouts of 18 or more, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So I ask you.
And that is a coaching problem too.
I would say so.
Seems to be an indication of some form or version of your team isn't properly prepared.
It's not. In some way.
Definitely the player's effort plays a factor into it, but mm-hmm. if you're getting killed, like you said, 7 out of 9 games, some of that has to be preparation.
It's bizarre. I think it's a little bit bizarre. So you have a ranking from what, the beginning of the year of where Coach Mike Brown sits compared to everybody else.
Yes, this is from Complex Sports. And, you know, everybody's got their own list and agendas and what they feel like is important in coaching and all that. But this is just a rough outlook of how maybe the national or the outside perspective of NBA coach ranks go. Should we start at number 1 or should we start at number 10?
Let's start at number 1.
All right, let's start
at
number
10?
No, let's start at number 10. Okay, let's start at number 10.
Thank you, Nate.
Okay. Number 10 on this list, and I ask for a very specific question because number 10 is Mike Brown.
That's why I wanted to start.
Yeah, that's and you know, I think it's interesting. I kind of think, and this is again taken after last year, so there's a lot of feelings of, you know, oh, this guy just brought the Kings to the playoffs first time in 16 years. I actually kind of feel like he's higher on this list, especially looking at the other names above him, which should I just list now since you know, we don't really care about everybody else's position. There's Taylor Jenkins of the Memphis Grizzlies, who I guarantee if you were to do this now, he'd probably not be in here. But
no way.
I will also say the Minnesota Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch, not included in this list. So if you just want to sub one for the other, one was the hot team of the past 2 years and the Grizzlies now seems to be the Timberwolves era. Or I shouldn't call it an era yet.
There you go.
But so throw Chris Finch in there. They've got at number 8, Quinn Snyder, who feels like he's still riding a little bit of the smoke off of his Utah Jazz years, mm-hmm. which fantastic coach. But I just think the thing, especially when you're talking about ranking coaches, you do got to take current performance into effect. Now, if we're doing all-time legacy, of course, like a guy like Greg Popovich is going to be number 1 on this list. But if we're talking right here, right now, the coaching job that you're currently doing with your current situation, I don't think Quinn Snyder's a top 10 coach right now. I think again, that's kind of really leaning off of his past success. Monty Williams, number 7. This was probably written immediately after Monty Williams signed that huge contract. Monty's a great coach. I think he did wonderful things in Phoenix. Got dealt an almost impossible hand in Detroit, but at the same time, losing 21 games in a row.
They cashed him out.
That's not just a bad players. I think, you know, your coach, you should probably be able to squeeze a couple more wins out.
Well, and they're not happy with his Javon Ivey. Can't get off the bench.
No.
And
personal. Which is bizarre.
I mean,
personal.
Monty, really? He can't get off the bench and you can't win a game? That makes no sense.
And he's a second-year player.
He can't be much worse than that.
And you're playing Marvin Bagley and James Wiseman. Okay, I think there's room for development for Javon Ivey.
What does that practice look like? It's got to be bad.
It can't be good. It's definitely like, I mean, yeah, I have no idea. I would assume that it's at that point you've lost 21 straight. You got to like just start teaching fundamentals at that. Like you're doing it from the ground up at that. Now, I'm not saying here's how to do a bounce pass and a chest pass, but I think at that point you really are telling guys like you're just hammering the importance of the small things like boxing out and, you know, finishing possessions and
layup lines.
Probably not layup lines, but probably not far off layup lines. Let's finish up this list. Nick Nurse, Greg Popovich, Ty Lue, Mike Malone, Steve Kerr, and Eric Spoelstra.
Like, why is Greg Popovich there?
I mean, that's a legacy thing, and I think, you know, we'll see how quick they rebuild with Wemby, but you know, he kept them slightly afloat when they had, you know, guys like DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, but that's a legacy vote for sure. I think if we were doing like a current standings of NBA coaches, you have to put Eric Spoelstra up there. I mean, with what he did with Miami last year, and even this year, Miami looks great. Jaime Jaquez looks like he's ready to make an impact on that team immediately already. You gotta put Steve Kerr in there. Unfortunately, like even though that Warrior team is struggling, you gotta say he's one of the best coaches in the NBA. Mark Dagnall of the Thunder,
yes, absolutely,
have to put him up there. Again, Chris Finch is somebody you gotta put up there. Mike Malone absolutely is at the top of that list. But I feel like Mike Brown is kind of on that next tier of guys where he's with the Ty Lues. He's with, you know, I would say Mark Dagnall's probably more in that grouping of guys, but Mike Brown is undoubtedly, and even this list can't deny, he's a top 10 coach in the NBA, which I don't know if the Kings have had since Rick Allen. Well, I guess probably since Mike Malone.
10 feels maybe a little bit low for Mike Brown, but top five would feel too high.
Top five.
So I think I'm good with it, and we'll see. I think some of the guys in front of him wouldn't be in front of him.
I love
now.
Nick Nurse. I think Nick Nurse is a great coach. Yeah. He's up there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they lose James Harden, and you still got Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey stepping up. So, all right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Nate has the sound from Zion Williamson and also Kevin Garnett. And we also have our dog segment sponsored by nobody yet, but could be sponsored by you. Call Nate to be a part of this.
Potential investors, possibly you.
Sponsoring the dog segment. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Got our dog segment coming up. Not trying to be lazazazical. We have that sound. We have Kevin Garnett. Which one is worse? And by the way, before we play this sound, the only reason I feel comfortable, you know, joking about how something gets pronounced is because of the job that we do. And I would hope Nate and Simone and all of our producers, when I mess up or when you mess up, cut what we mess up and replay it. And they do. That's the only reason, right? As a public speaker, I would joke about this because I like when people joke me when I get caught up on stuff. But let's go to Ken, who's been waiting through the break. 916-339-1140. Ken wants to be a part of the conversation. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. What's up, Ken? What you got for us?
Oh, what it do, fellas, man? You're always a pleasure to listen to, man, every afternoon, Monday through Friday, man. It's always good to hear the information that you swing out.
Thank you, sir. Nate, cut that. Nate, cut that. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Kevin Herter, man, I just think he's mentally done, man. You know, since the All-Star break, you know, him making, since the three-point contest, him making two shots out of 20 or whatever it was.
Interesting.
So he's gotten worse, man. And what's happening is that he's getting deeper and deeper into this mental process of him making a shot. So he's not naturally shooting that shot. And the more he misses and the more he doesn't, and he's not successful, hey, man, it gets worse for Herter. I just watched him decline. Yeah, I don't think there's no upside to Kevin Herter. Real talk. I tried to give him a shot, you know, when watching him, okay, some games, but he's just falling off. And then Mike Brown sees it. 16 minutes, and you normally play 30. Hey, I'm not the only one that sees it, man. But I wanted him to do well coming from the ATL, but he's just been he's in his head now. You already know in sports, once you get it in your head and you hear all the chatter from 1140, you hear the chatter from ESPN, you hear the chatter from NBA TV, man, you're not the player that you used to be. And then the more you fail, the more you're successful. So I don't think he's going to get out that rut. I think we should trade him and Barnes, get him up out of here and put Monk in the starting lineup. Mm. And K-Dub is out.
That's a great call, Ken. Thank you for that. Yeah, you know I love going to the whole sports psychology piece of this. And we have 916 on the text line saying we can't lose Malik Spark off the bench. So I think it is a really good conversation on where should things move, because Kevin Herter We thought he powered through. Unfortunately, sometimes injuries happen, and it's tough to get back off the horse or on the horse because at the beginning of the season, he was going from struggling in the playoffs. It leaked into this season. He powers through. He gets on the heater. Then he injures his finger. Yep. And ever since injuring his finger, he hasn't really been the same guy, which is unfortunate. And he's had a couple games here or there where he's looked good, like we said, had 21 against the Warriors, 16 a couple games ago. But it's getting to the point now where, as hard as he tries on defense, I mean, let's just keep it all the way 1,000. Do you really want to see Kevin Huerter instead of Sasha Vezenkov at this point? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting for sure. Like, I mean, because it does bring up the question, if Kevin's not hitting the three, what is he bringing you on the floor? And I think that's where I hear the what is Kevin Huerter's upside, because it really does feel like a lot of the time, if he's not hitting that shot, he's just kind of out there, especially to close out games. Like he's you can't put the ball in his hands really to create offense. Defensively, he's good at getting deflections, but he's not really great at the point of attack defense. So, I mean, it makes you wonder. Yeah, like a guy like Sasha, you feel like has a little bit more room to grow. I don't know if it's a one-for-one swap of his minutes go for him, but it does bring up the question of, are you maximizing everything that this team has by continuing to roll out Kevin Huerter? I don't know. I think that Huerter still is a massive part of this offense, because if Kevin Huerter, who has made shots his entire life up until this point, if he can start hitting them again, like we've seen what this Kings team looks like when they hit their shots, they look great. They look like one of the best teams in the NBA. And so I think that's kind of the great white whale, if you will, where the Kings are just looking at that and they say, he's not shooting well right now, but if he can just get to that spot, if he can get to what the guy that he looked like at points last year when he's at his best, this team goes to a completely different level. And I think that they just kind of see that and hope that, you know, this is a guy who's still young in his career. Kevin Huerter's 25 years old. We can't forget that. Like, he's still got a lot of room to grow himself, whether it doesn't even have to be scoring more points. It could just be becoming more efficient at getting the same amount of points. I just think it's still a little bit early in his career to just kind of give up on him in total. I think that there's still something there, and judging him at his
giving
worst.
Up on him.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're giving up on him. I don't know that Kevin Huerter.
People are saying to ship him off. I mean, that
to
me sounds
like
giving
up. You have to if you want to talk about trades. He has to be a part of that conversation.
I mean, if you're looking for a big fish, I mean, if you're going to have to get an OG and a newbie, then you're probably going to have to throw a Huerter salary.
I'm going to be honest with you, Chris, as I always am.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I don't know that Kevin Huerter is a starter on a championship team. I don't know. I'm not saying he isn't. I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah. I think he could be. I definitely think he could
be. I don't know.
I don't see why he couldn't be. I don't think like he's that big of a liability anywhere.
I don't think he is either. But I think that my first question if somebody were to say, I think Kevin Huerter could be a starter on a championship team, my first question would be, well, who are the other starters?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, right? 100%.
And I think that's where I'm at with this right now. And between Huerter and Harrison Barnes, and any way you split it, these guys, right, there's so much on the De'Aaron Foxes and the Sabonises to carry. That's why I would say, and that's why we're having the conversations about Pascal and OG.
Right.
You got to get everybody to elevate unless you're just, and you have two really good players, but is it enough? Let's go to Chris quickly. Before we go to dog. Chris, you got about 30 seconds before we go to our dog segment. 916-339-1140. What's up, Chris? What you got for us?
Hey, speaking of dogs, I think we need more, man. I've just noticed a lot recently, especially Huerter. He will get into the paint. He has that 10 to 15 foot little floater, jumper, and then turn around and kick it back out for a three, man. I know I got a short time, but I just want to say we need to be more aggressive within the paint. Not even saying if our shots aren't falling, but go get somebody that's going to take that and be aggressive. So, love you guys. Keep on doing what you're doing. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Cut that as well, Nate. Yeah, Chris says great name for Chris. Thank you for that call. And yeah, who is it then, yeah. right? And Herter can get that floater going. Herter can get the flirter going, right? That if he can continue to do that, then you got action. But just playing hot potato until somebody shoots a three, it's not always going to work. All right. Let's go to our dog segment. It'll be a quicker dog segment here. I will start today. And I picked Herter, and he didn't do anything. So I'm done with Herter.
Yeah, you should
now.
Be done with it.
I'm trying to help the team out here. Yeah. And now I feel like I don't want to pick it. I don't even want to partake in this. But actually, the last time I was hot was Harrison Barnes. But I won't go with Harrison. I'm going to go with, it's been a while since I picked my boy. We'll talk about the growth, even more about the growth of Keegan Murray tomorrow as we have the crosstalk coming up here in just a few moments. Keegan Murray. There you go. I got Keegan Murray tonight.
I'm not even joking. Off. That was going to be my pick as well. Last time when they played OKC, Keegan had 24 points, wow. 11 rebounds, 3 steals. 4 offensive rebounds. They need him. They need him to be big. I mean, OKC really doesn't present too many of those long, versatile wings that we like to talk about a lot. They have Jalen Williams, who I'm a fan of. But besides that, I mean, they have big guards, but they really don't have big forwards. Tonight's a night for Keegan to kind of throw his weight around. He's been playing with a lot of big guys. So I would hope that going against OKC in a weird way might feel easier for him because he doesn't have to deal with that length. So Kings need Keegan to step up and give them the forward advantage tonight for once.
So you're going Keegan
too? I'm going Keegan as
well. Wow, doubling up. Nate, who you got? Who's your dog?
I'm going Keon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Keegan Murray.
Yeah, I know. Keon. I'm going with Keon, dude.
Okay.
I know it gets dicey with the whole contract situation. You know what? He can play 50 2A. Games, yeah. right? Before he gets a full contract. But even then, if he has a full contract, he can only play so many still, right?
No, if he has a full contract, he's totally good. They can play him as much as he wants, and he's just on the roster.
Yeah, I just I know there's stipulations everywhere, but Keon's my guy.
Keon's your guy. Need the length today. SGA, as you said, the big guards that the Thunder have. So there you go, real quick. From the SAC chat, Manny Too Legit's got Keegan. Dwayne Baker has Fox because it will be a Kentucky battle. Ooh. I like that one, Dwayne Baker. So there you go. All right, got to get to a break when we get back. Crosstalk, crossover with the Drive Guys. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 15 more minutes with you before we hand it over to the Drive Guys. And that is who we are joined by right now, Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. How are you two doing at Golden One? How's it feeling out there?
Drapes is back.
I'm back, man. Still not 100%, though. You know, my normal gusto won't be there for the full 3.5 hours or whatever, but 80% of Drapes is better than a lot of people, right, Whitey?
That's right, than a lot of people.
There you
go. Yeah. Guys just talk about the dog of the day. He's like a dog. Some people, I'm going to stay in bed. But he's got a lot of dog in
him. I might have to change my vote. Yeah, I might have to change my vote to Drapes tonight for the dog in the game.
Goal. Appreciate that.
And you have really an injured team right now here at Sacktown Sports because you have Dave coming off the IR. He's he had to do it remote. Simone is raising her hand. She's coming off the disabled list as well. And Draper, so hopefully we can get healthy before this run. We got the Suns, the Timberwolves, the Celtics coming up. Guys, we got to get healthy.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking you guys should do too, talking about dogs. And you're right, hopefully everybody gets healthy for the holidays and ho, ho, ho. But you should come up with your own analytics acronym, whatever DOG is.
Ooh.
And you could have your own, like, hey, this guy had 2 steals, that's 2 dog points or something. So when you pick.
Quantify, right.
Yeah, who was the dog of the game, you'd actually have your formula. And you can have that. That's yours if you want that. So that's your
Oh, you're helping those guys. Wow.
If they want it.
Free game right there.
No, thank you, Whitey. Yeah, because right now sometimes we go based on
thing.
Offense.
Yeah.
It's just the eye test. Like game manager. Like game manager being the eye test. Not sure if you guys heard this conversation earlier, but I think that you will have some interesting things to say before we get to our Kings talk. Cam Newton has made a lot of waves, as he did a lot when he was a player, but now as a podcaster calling Brock Purdy as well as Dak Prescott and Tua game managers. Let's focus on Brock Purdy. I was telling Chris that in a long-winded way, I would call Brock Purdy a game manager plus, if that's possible. But if you're not able to, and you simply have to say yes or no to Brock being a game manager, or I guess the other thing would be elite, right? Is Brock Purdy a game manager?
So is that our only two options, game manager and elite?
I think so. I don't know, right? I have no clue. I don't.
I'm going to lean toward, if I had to lean toward one, I would say game manager.
Yeah.
And this is not a knock on him. It's just that in the tightest of moments, we haven't seen him go out there and have to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're only giving me two options. To me, the elite is the Montanas of the world, mm-hmm. lead you on a two-minute drive, the Patrick Mahomes of the world. Like, that's that level. And the rest, you know, to Cam Newton's point, he put a lot of quarterbacks in that game manager, a lot of quarterbacks.
That's what Chris said.
MVP right now. So
right.
I don't know if that's necessarily as big of a knock as it is. You know, if we're only choosing between elite and game manager, I would say game manager.
Yeah.
To me, he's elite, but he hasn't had a chance to conclusively prove that yet. Mm. So I understand why some people would say, oh, not yet. I think he can prove it, but he hasn't, in all fairness. Mike Sando today revisited his quarterback tiers, and the way he broke it down I thought was brilliant. And he says some evaluators look at it this way. There are some guys like Manning and Brady. There aren't a lot of guys like those. But when the other team knows that they're throwing every down, they're like, uh-oh, we got a problem. There are still other guys, mostly everybody else, who teams are trying to stop the run so they can put the quarterback in that situation where, okay, now he's got to throw every down.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brock is still one of those guys. I think eventually, if given the chance, I think he'll prove that you don't want to mess with him that way. But let's be honest, he hasn't had to prove that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a great point, and that makes me think of, I mean, it feels like he's not quite there yet, because Alan pointed it out, like, in the Eagles game, it felt like they tried to establish, okay, Brock is going to beat you with his arm today, and then the first two drives kind of stalled out, and they kind of had to get into the offense a little, so it is interesting, and I haven't heard anybody phrase it the way Whitey did, but I do think that's interesting that I think there's a lot of people out there who believe Brock is an elite guy. He just hasn't quite had the opportunity to show it. And I think it's interesting. Drapes brings up the 2 minute thing. I do wonder if that's the kind of thing that it would take for Brock to get thrown more into or out of the game manager conversation is, hey man, when push comes to shove, you need to win a game. Go do a 2 minute drive. And sometimes you won't change people's opinion until you have like an actual moment like
right,
that.
Which isn't completely fair, but that's
no,
just
but
of
that's
course.
The reality
he
of
did
it.
Do it at halftime when they were down against the Rams. He did do it at halftime, and I think it was a 99, 98-yard drive under 2 minutes and ended up scoring. So we'll see what happens with Brock as they get ready to, you know, power through and take on with the Cardinals and hopefully they keep rolling. Guys, switching over to the Kings here before we hand the keys over to you. They're going to bounce back tonight because 7 out of 9 of their losses, they've lost by 18 or more. That's pretty bad. Okay, so which Kings are we getting tonight?
That's a great question. History suggests that we'll get a bounce back effort from the Sacramento Kings. You know, I think 4 of their losses of 20 or more have been on the road. And so they've definitely been a better home team, obviously, the last Clippers game here, you know, withstanding. And so I think you'll get a better effort. Remember, we beat this team earlier this year with no De'Aaron Fox in this building. Now you get De'Aaron Fox back. And we know historically, too, De'Aaron Fox gets up to go against other star guards.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander matchup tonight is going to be huge. And so I think, you know, part of me is wishing this, hoping this, but I think we'll get a better effort than what we saw the other night in L.A.
Yeah, OKC appears pretty legit. Right now, they're top 10 in both offensive and defensive rating, but their schedule, you know, still early enough in the year where that's a factor. Their schedule hasn't been that tough. But I wanted to ask my buddy Chris a question, if I may. Chris, do you think, as I do, this is my theory, you would know you're there, Do you think Allen did the whole game manager thing today and game manager plus just so he could do kind of a flex about, I go to Morton's and they know my name?
Look, don't start, Whitey, don't start with me. And I'm glad, look, and I'm glad.
It's a theory. It's a question.
No, and I'm glad.
You're just asking questions, Whitey.
I got to hop in anyway and hand over the keys to you guys, the drive
guys. I guess
guys,
I can't answer.
And Draper and Chris can answer tomorrow, and Draper can answer when you guys come back and do your show. You got the drive guys up next with Whitey Gleason, and Kyle Draper is back. Thank you for listening to Stiles and Watkins. Until next time, which is tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.